Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we just come before you this morning, and that is our prayer. We need Jesus. We need him every moment, every day. We thank you for that gift of salvation, that choice we can make to submit to you and follow you in that, and that moment where the Spirit enters our life and we're able to just experience you in that new way. But God, we need Jesus every day. We need him new and fresh every day. I do. Because I fall into old habits too easily. I fall into places that are comfortable so easily. Behaviors and patterns and choices that are easy, familiar. But they're not what you have. They're not the life that you call me to, that you call us to. And so we need Jesus every day. We thank you that we can sing those things together and declare those things together, even when we know it's not always true and real in our life. But Jesus, we pray that you'd help it to be more and more true each day. That we would rely on you, that we would trust you more and more each day. As we turn now to your word and we dig into what the scriptures have to say to us this morning, we just pray that you would speak, that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear from you today, that we would be challenged, that we would be led deeper into relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us there this morning. That was a powerful time of singing and declaring those things together. This morning, we're going to open our Bibles right away, as we often do, to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and you can click away or flip away or whatever you do. We're going to read together the first seven chapters of Psalm 37, and then we're going to dig into a little bit where God is leading us this morning. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like the green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Don't fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. This morning, we're going to be continuing our Believe series. We've been walking through this all year long, and we look all the way back to September when we started. And the series that we're walking through is Believe, Think, Act, and Be Like Jesus. And what we're trying to do this year is understand what it means for us as followers of Jesus, people who say that they are following Jesus. What does it mean for us to actually look like him? What does it mean for us to actually think like he did? About the world, about ourselves, about all of the different things that God calls us to, about God himself. What does it mean for us to think like Jesus did? And then we follow that. If we can start to think a little bit like he did, what does it mean? What does it look like for us to act like Jesus did then? To do the things that he did. And as he says, amazingly, to do even greater things than he did. His words, not mine. That has never made sense to me. But we are called to that. And if we're going to do that, we need to act like he did. So what does it mean for us to act like Jesus? And so we've walked through those two things, and now we're in a series where we're looking at then what does it mean to be like Jesus? And that's a big idea. To be like Jesus. To exist like he did. To just live and be like him. It's a big deal. It's really hard when we think about that. Right away, I'm already like, I don't know if I can just kind of be, I can kind of pretend to do things like he did and maybe think like, but to just be like he did, to exist in that space of relationship with God that he had, right away, I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. But he says we can. So we got to trust him in that. But that's why we're exploring what it means to be like. That's why we're talking about this. And the way we're doing that is we're walking through the fruit of the Spirit, because those are the way that Jesus was able to just be. That's what that looked like, is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I wrote it down. I'm not going to remember them all in order. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what it means to be like Jesus. But the key part of the fruit of the Spirit for us is the Spirit. These aren't just behaviors that we try to live. These aren't disciplines that we try to build. These are gifts from God, so we can follow him and live the way that we were meant to. Now, we're not talking about these in the traditional order, which is causing me some issues in my own mind. 8-year-old Dustin is kind of freaking out, and he's frantically singing Salty, the singing songbook. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Anyone? Salty, the singing songbook? Yes? Yes? Yes, you had the tapes. That's right. Salty, the singing song. It's great 90s Christian media, right? Salty, Adventures in Odyssey, maybe a little McGee and Me. Everyone, yeah, VHS tapes, and they're scratchy and all this. Yeah, that's right. I'm not the only one. That's good. Anyways, we're walking through the fruit of the Spirit, because that's the things that Jesus lived. That's how he just was. He just existed with love. He just existed with joy. He just existed with kindness and goodness and patience and all of these things. And if we want to follow him, then that's the things that we need to build our life around. That's the things that we need to be filled with. And that's hard. That's not easy. I'm not trying to tell you that it is. But again, it's not about our effort. It's about the work of God in our lives. Which is good, because I suck and I'm not going to be able to do those things. So as we submit to him, as we trust him, as we let him work, those things will become more and more real. So we've been walking through all of these different fruits of the Spirit. And last week we were meant to talk about hope. But we had our wonderful coffee break Sunday time. I love those Sundays so much. Just a chance to fellowship together, to recognize. Again, as we said last week, we worship with singing. We worship with scripture. We worship with prayer. But we worship in fellowship too. Being together. God is three in one. He is relationship. And so relationship is worship too. And as we're able to just enjoy that time together. So it was a wonderful time, just eating, enjoying, meeting people, hanging out. And then we heard a wonderful testimony from our Kenya missions team. And so while we didn't have a sermon directly about hope last week, their testimony about what they saw and heard God doing in Kenya, in the church that they were in the school that they were working with, and the people that they met there, that's everything we really need to know and understand about hope. God is our hope, and that's the story that they brought to us. That's what they saw and heard and experienced as they were working over there. The work and sacrifice of Jesus is our hope, is their hope, is everyone's hope. The work and the gift of the Spirit in our lives is our hope. It doesn't come from wealth or comfort or health or any of those things. From beginning to end, our hope is in God. Who he is, what he is doing, and what he calls us to be a part of. So thank you, team, for displaying that so clearly to us as you trusted God as he led you to Kenya, and for bringing us word of that incredible hope, the stories of what he was doing there, that God is pouring out on the people in Kenya. This week we're going to dig in to I feel like I say I'm bad at all these. I'm so bad at all of these. But we're going to dig into patience, which is, I'm bad at patience. I'm not good at it. Maybe you can identify with, are we bad at patience sometimes? Please, hands. Thank you. Oh, good. feel like I'm hanging alone out here sometimes where it's like, I hope you guys suck at this stuff too, because I sure do. But we're going to dig into patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit that I do struggle with. I find difficult to live. But as I'm so lucky because I get to dig into this stuff all week long and dig into scriptures about this. And I present, Dennis and I get to present just a little bit to you of what God's been speaking. But believe me, we learn so much more when we're getting the chance to dig into this stuff all week. So you can do that too. I mean, you have Bibles, so you read them and learn, and God can speak to you too. That's important. But I've been learning so much this week about what patience looks like. And it's been an amazing challenge. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. When we think about patience, what do we think of? And to be honest, when I think about that word patience, the things that come to mind almost exclusively are examples of how I don't have that. When I think about patience, what comes to mind is my impatience. All the times that I'm not. I think about traffic. I think about deadlines. I think about people that I'm struggling with. Standing in line, being on hold, my kids not listening or talking back, plans going wrong, someone not showing up or being late. When I try to think about what patience is, all I can see is examples of what patience isn't. And I don't know if that's a good thing, but that's where my head is at. But it doesn't necessarily help me understand what patience is actually supposed to look like then. It's not necessarily just the opposite of my bad attitude. I just definitely know when I don't have it. One of the things I noticed right away as I was thinking about that list, though, is that almost all of those places where I really struggle with patience has to do with people. And I think that's probably true for all of us. Seems that almost all the times that we struggle to be patient, it's another person that's the cause of our frustration and impatience. It may or may not be their fault. Like I say, it's mostly my attitude, probably. But it's people that we struggle with. And sometimes the closer those people are to us, the less patience we have with them. It's our family members. It's our spouse. It's our kids. Those are the places where we can be the least patient. Because it's safer. These are relationships that are more comfortable, and so we're less careful, maybe. Or there's more history there, more track record of behaviors that we struggle with or choices that we struggle with. And so it's easier to get more frustrated more quickly with any individual thing. It's a little bit scary to think about because these are the people that we're supposed to love the most dearly and care about the most directly too. But it's true. But it's not just people we know. We can be very frustrated with total strangers too, particularly when I'm surrounded by 2 tons of steel. I feel pretty invincible in my attitude towards other people there. I can get pretty angry even in maybe a church parking lot. We come, Jesus, you are everything to me. And who the heck is this? I'm trying to get out of the parking lot. It disappears pretty quick. Strangers can easily feel the brunt of my impatience when my plans or my schedule or my needs get interrupted. Patience is hard. And all the more so because our patience isn't tested when we're calm and steady and have lots of time to deal with it. It's in unexpected interruptions and problems that our patience is tested. When we're unprepared. When we don't have time or energy to deal with this. Okay, so again, it's easy to see what impatience is. We all know what impatience is and where that comes from. But what does patience look like? What is it actually supposed to be? What does it mean for us to be patient like Jesus was? And the temptation is, as it always is with all of these things, right away to try to find the strength within ourselves, within myself, well, I'll just be more patient then. And that works for about 45 seconds. And then I'm gone. So as we have been, we need to look at God first. And that seems obvious, and yet it's the last option all the time. Allow him to tell us. Let him show us what patience really is. Now, Clark was giving me a hard time before the service. He said, I knew you were preaching today because there's 700 verses in here today. So yes, there's a lot of scripture because the Bible is good. And Jesus is where we need to look. The word is where we need to look to understand these things. So, scripture time. Are we ready? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Psalm 37, we read at the beginning. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Don't fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out wicked schemes. Psalm 27, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Romans chapter 15, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus had. In Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Over and over and over again, patience is shown as understanding and waiting for God. And at first I thought, well, that doesn't help me in traffic or when my kids misbehave. How am I supposed to wait for God when this person won't go in front of me? That doesn't make sense. But I realized that patience isn't about my reaction in that moment. It's not about how I respond in that stressful situation. It's about my whole perspective. Patience is about following God, letting him lead me in everything, always, forever. Big things, small things, right down to the tiniest details of my life, allowing God to lead me. And again, it's obvious when we say it. Of course that's true. But we don't live that way, or at least I don't. Letting God be in charge. Am I following him in my life, or just going about the things that I want to do and pretending that there's kind of spiritual parts to it? I do some God stuff here and there. Or is my whole life about God? Is my life organized around God? Or am I just busily doing whatever's in front of me or whatever I put in front of myself, really? Because that's a huge difference. It's not the same thing. Jesus is our perfect example. His entire life was organized around what God wanted him to do. He tells us that explicitly. He said, I only do. And he chose his words carefully. Jesus didn't say anything by accident. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what my Father gives me to say. Every action, every word came from his Father. And the longer you think about that, the longer you let that stew in your brain, the more and more profound and far-reaching it becomes. I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what he gives me to say. Don't miss that. This is a huge thing that Jesus says here. Jesus was able to be patient because his life wasn't filled with inconveniences or interruptions. It was all laid out by his Father, filled with things he was supposed to do. situations he was supposed to be in, so that he could care for people, show them God's love and mercy and hope. That's a big deal. That's what patience looks like. And that is not what I do. That's not how I live my life. I fill my life with all kinds of things, fill my schedule right to overflowing because I have to, I guess. So I can tell other people how busy I am. That's our standard answer, isn't it? We have to say that in North America, or we're lazy or weird. How are you doing? Oh, I'm super busy right now. Oh my goodness. The moment something doesn't go exactly as I need it to, because I've packed my schedule, my life so full, the moment it doesn't go exactly right, everything falls apart and my patience is gone. The moment God puts something or someone in my path that he wants me to care for, that doesn't fit in my carefully planned out life, everything falls apart. God has to interrupt me to get me to see what he's doing. And my reaction is frustration, anger, stress, because my plan is messed up. That's not great. And all because I'm so busy building my own plan instead of waiting for him to lead me. And then I get frustrated and impatient because my world is falling apart. And this isn't news to God. This isn't a surprise to him. He knows us. He knows our hearts. He's been walking with us right from the beginning. And he understands our desire to be in charge and to control everything. That was the problem in the first place. And it's never changed. It's what got us all into this. And then to keep feeling like we're in control, we have to fill our life right to the limit because there's so much going on around us. So many things could go wrong. So I have to put more things in place to try to control those pieces. And then those pieces are complicated. And I have to put more things in place and make sure I have all of those plates spinning as fast as I can. And they're all wobbling like crazy. But I got to keep going. We got to make sure we're doing everything that we can do so that we can be successful or busy or active or responsible or giving or on and on and on to please, I don't know who, ourselves? Not really. We don't like it. Other people? So that they can be impressed with us or proud of us or whatever. Maybe even God, if we try to convince ourselves of that. Only problem is he never asked us for any of that. I've worked 200 hours a week for the last 60 years to build this incredible empire. I've got my kids in 18 different programs 7 nights a week so that they can grow up to be fully well-rounded, incredible human beings that will be the greatest thing that the world has ever known. God says, sure, I didn't ask you for that. Psalm 51, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart you will not despise. That's what he wants. That's all he's ever wanted. God doesn't ask us to run flat out forever. He doesn't need us to do any of the things that we pour so much time and energy into. He wants your heart. He wants your time. He wants your trust. He wants you to follow him. He says, can you let me lead just a little bit? Let him set the pace. Let him set the direction. Let him set the purpose of your life. He will help you. You don't need to help him. He doesn't need your help. When you let him do that, you will find patience because he's in charge. It's his program, his schedule, not you. That's how Jesus lived his life. He was never in a hurry. He was always right where he was supposed to be, doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing. Jesus is teaching on a hillside, and little children are trying to get to him, and his followers respond exactly like I do. Not now. He's busy. We've got to get to this next town by nightfall. We don't have time for this. Not Jesus. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. This is what my Father has asked me to spend my time doing today. Jesus is on his way somewhere important. He's walking down the road, and there's huge crowds following him. And they're slowing him down. The crowds are pressing in. And you can see his disciples. They're getting all high and mighty. We're with him. And they're acting like bodyguards, and they're trying to split the crowd. Out of the way, make way, the master is coming through. We have somewhere important to be. And Jesus is just on another page. All of this is happening around him. He sees every single one of their faces. He knows their story. And suddenly his eyes are taken up into this tree on the side of the road where this little man has climbed up. And you can imagine the noise. Hundreds or even thousands of people thronging around him as he presses through, and his disciples are trying to make way. And he says, hold on, Zacchaeus, come down from there. I'm coming to your house today. Jesus is out teaching and healing. And he finds out his friend is dying. And he doesn't rush to his side. He's Jesus. These people have seen him do incredible things. And so the sisters of this man come to him and say, Jesus, our brother is dying. Your friend is dying. Please come and heal him. And we would understand, yes, he rushes off, of course, to do this. But no, he is exactly where he is supposed to be, doing exactly what he is supposed to be doing, whatever other people's expectations or desires are. No, my Father wants me here with these people now. And his friend dies because he didn't go and heal him. Jesus, if you'd have come right away, you could have healed him. He's dead because you didn't come. But Jesus was on his Father's schedule, not ours, and the people got to witness an incredible miracle as Lazarus is raised from the dead. God's schedule is not ours. It is not the same as mine. His priorities are not the same as mine. And we don't discover what it is by accident. Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. He pulled away by himself a lot to pray. And if he had to do that, how much more do I? Busyness is the enemy of patience. When everything is an emergency, when we're always late, we cannot be patient with ourselves, with others, with our family, with our circumstance. But with that, I was going to talk about making margins in our life, building in margins. And as I was writing that down, I'm like, no, that's not it. That's me trying to be patient again. God does not fit in my life. Or your life. We do not squeeze God in. God is our life. Or he's supposed to be. He's not a part. He's not a piece. He is everything. His plan, his purpose, his direction is everything. He is in charge. He needs to tell me what my life is supposed to look like. And if we do that, when that happens in the right order, then we can begin to have patience. As God asks us to, because we trust Him. Because we're following Him. Because we're on His schedule. We're living in His strength, not ours. So this week, that's what I'm going to challenge us to do. Is just change everything in your life all at once. No. This week, we're going to start our days with prayer. Just like Jesus did. And make it a simple prayer. God, I don't have things, or I have things that I want to do today. I have things that I'm going to do today, work or school or committees or laundry or even nothing. I give it all to You. What do You want me to do today? Help me see. Help me be ready. Help me to do and say what You give to me just like Jesus did. I want to follow You. And let's see what happens. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank You that You are patient. I thank You that You are so gracious with me, with us. You watch us work our fingers to the bone, pack our schedules full to overflowing. And You say, oh, child, please don't. I'm not asking You for that. Follow Me, please. Help us to do that. Help us to see and to understand where You are leading us, where You are calling us, who You are calling us to. The people and situations in our life that You put there so that we can show them Your love. Show them Your grace. God, even this week, even today, help us to be on Your schedule. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what You are doing, what You're saying, so that we can follow You. That we can show You to people. Forgive us, God, when we fail. When You grab hold of those pieces that we're not supposed to be holding on to. Give us confidence to follow You. In Jesus' name, amen.